one.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. 51551 is our text number. Catherine, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Thanks for having me today.
And thanks for contacting us. Now, you would think that somebody graduating from a training course, or a study course indeed, which is what Templemore is now, would be over the moon. But you say when your fiancé graduated and he discovered where he was being sent, he felt like resigning. Why?
So, Joe, just to give you a little bit of a background information, obviously when you are a guard and you're walking through the gates of Templemore in Tipperary, you understand that you could be sent anywhere. And that's generally the case.
Okay.
But in terms of family, wives, fiancés, children, mortgage commitments, you can put in what is called a welfare case. And this welfare case is a process and a procedure, and it's there to accommodate people.
Mm-hmm.
The trainee, the Garda trainee, has to furnish evidence to An Garda Síochána Cóna of their personal circumstances. As I said, like, they have to give in wedding certs, marriage statements, letters from their spouses, employers. They have to write an extensive report. They have to meet with 3 to 4 members of An Garda Síochána Cóna, welfare officers, sergeants and the like, and engage in 20-minute meetings on any given meeting to put their case forward, to be stationed near their family, say. This then is submitted to An Garda Síochána Cóna, and it can be accepted or denied. So in this case, I'm speaking for the voiceless.
Yeah.
In this case, all of these 12 aggrieved, their cases were accepted. Their welfare cases were accepted, so they had given options of where they would like to be stationed, and none of these options were adhered to.
Oh, so, okay. So you're saying there is stages you go through when you seek to be allocated, and obviously it's population, whatever. But when you seek to be allocated, and then you when you get over that hurdle, which you said 12 of the 202 trainee guard you came out were deemed to fall into that category, and then you're asked, is it within that area? You're asked to pick a number of areas. Is it what happens when you get
so
over
you're
that
asked
hurdle?
To pick 3.
Okay.
And they're trainee stations. So a station might be in Dublin or in Cork or in Galway or in Athlone or Limerick. And these are stations that you pick, and they're your top 3 choices of where you'd like to be stationed, because you were told that you were actually promised by numerous members of An Garda Síochána Cóna that they are not in the business of splitting off families. And so they want to put you, station you, obviously in a training station that's close to where your family are.
And you're saying of the 12 graduates that were deemed to fall properly into that welfare category, did any of them get anywhere near where they asked?
None. In fact, approximately 20 put in welfare cases.
Okay.
And 8 were given their chosen station. So there's a discrepancy there. 8 were given their stations and 12 weren't.
Okay, now there's a new guard commissioner. I think this is the first batch of graduates, so to speak. Has it been different before?
Yes. And the way it's been different before, Joe, is the fact that you could always appeal. The guard commissioner, in his lecture on Tuesday, said that under no circumstances can anyone appeal their station.
Wow.
He said, in layman's terms, you can like it or lump it. And then
did he use that phrase?
No, he didn't.
I'm just
pushing that in layman's terms. But on Wednesday morning then, after this was announced at 7 o'clock on Tuesday evening, Wednesday morning, 7 graduates were waiting outside the sergeant's office with resignation letters, letters of resignation.
And why are they resigning?
Let me just give you an example.
Yeah,
there's a man from West Cork. He has a wife. He has 2 young kids. They have a family business, and he has a mortgage commitment. He has been in Templemore for the last 8 months while his wife push him through Templemore. They're obviously not. They're only getting a little bit of money while they're down there.
The sacrifice you have to make.
You have to make, exactly. And he is stationed in inner city Dublin. That's over a 7 hour commute on a daily basis.
From West Cork to inner city Dublin. So he either, which is a challenge, he either moves his family of four, including himself, to Dublin, try and get accommodation. Mm-hmm. And for example, would he have put in Cork and Limerick? Yes. Okay.
Yes.
Now, tell us about what the Commissioner Harris, his lecture, as you called it, was that to the graduate saying, well done, and...
No. Yeah. They're called in after class. They have class 9 to 5, Monday to Friday.
Okay.
They were called in after class. They were sat down, and Commissioner Harris, my understanding is that he lectured, he just stood up on the podium and spoke out the 202 names. It was even recognised that the sergeant at the meeting had a tear in her eye because of the unjustness of breaking up families. Mr. Harris has actually an ethos out, and he's actually in breach of his ethos. His ethos states to treat everyone with respect and fairness.
But he also has to run a Garda force. And for example, where there's crime, where there's crime. After 202, the 202, you've given me figures, the 202 mm-hmm. graduates this week, mm-hmm. 132 are going to Dublin.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. 30 are going to Loud. I presume that's the Drogheda feud, and that was a campaign mm-hmm. by mm-hmm. Fergus O'Dowd and other Loud TDs mm-hmm. to get X. So they're going to Loud. 10 are going to Galway. So mm-hmm. so we draw the line across the country from Dublin
exactly.
to Galway. Is there anyone going below the line?
No, not one is going to the south of Galway or Dublin. Can I just give you a figure that has just come into me before I got on the phone to you? On Taoiseach Simon Coveney has just come out publicly to state, so he has publicly said this already, that Cork were supposed to get 25 new recruits, but that was turned down by the Garda Commissioner, Drew Harris. Limerick were supposed to get 8 new recruits, but that was also turned down by the Garda Commissioner, Drew Harris. Now, had these gone into effect, I wouldn't be on the phone to you today.
Because those welfare cases could have been dealt with.
Exactly.
So someone on the west of Ireland would have gone to Limerick. Someone down south would have got their Cork allocation.
Exactly. Okay.
Do you want to add substance to your allegation that this is a new policy of the Garda Commissioner? Surely you can send people wherever he wants.
Yeah, and that's always the case. And when you walk through the gates of Templemore, you are always with that understanding. But in that sense, then there shouldn't be a welfare case. And if these people are putting in a welfare case, that only if 20 of them say are putting in a welfare mm-hmm. case and these are accepted, why are 8 of them stationed where they want to be and 12 families, wives, children have to be without their husbands, their fiancés, their dads?
So 60% didn't get what they want. And then in your own situation with your partner, Catherine, what you say he's... by the way, are you saying the 7 trainee guards have left already?
Yeah.
They're gone.
Have left to hand in their resignations. And I was just told by my fiancé and these guards that these 12 young guards who want to work... but are left with no option other than to resign if their cases are not accommodated. So there'll be 12 more resigning on Monday morning if these aren't accommodated. They obviously can't come out to say this themselves because that's part of the policy. When you go to Templemore, you have to sign that away. But I'm the voice today for the voiceless.
So having spent countless thousands on training... 7 Gardaí, and it's a pretty sophisticated, complex job these days.
Mm-hmm.
You're saying because of the new allocation policy, 7 of them, have they already left? Or are they threatening to leave?
They handed in their resignations on Wednesday. They were outside the sergeant's office.
So they're gone?
On Wednesday, and there'll be 12 more on Monday morning.
That's 19?
That's 19. If this isn't
That's 10.
Resolved.
So you're saying 10% of the graduates...
Mm-hmm.
are gone before they even see the inside of a Garda station.
Exactly.
Now, the chances of the process.
Can I just interrupt you there for a second? No, sorry, Joe. It has been highlighted that from many of our current Garda members that this is the worst station allocation since the Troubles in Northern Ireland in the 1970s. I think that puts it into context.
Where there was an incredible necessity for border staffing. Now, bear with me when I ask this question, Catherine. Can you move to Dublin?
No.
And bear with me again, why not?
I am permanent staff.
Okay. Where you
work. Yeah, and when you put in a Westshire case, so your Westshire case is either accepted or denied. All these welfare cases were accepted, so that leads to promises that we are going to take into account that your fiancé and your wife and your family and your children, and you have to be in a commutable distance. Your station has to be in a commutable distance from your family. Now, do you think that man in West Cork, he's in a commutable distance from inner city Dublin?
Where does it state that you say commutable different distance?
Yeah,
because
you're told that when you are told that when you are putting in your welfare case.
Okay, that would be commutable difference. Okay,
that you distance, will be stationed distance. In a station that's commutable. Yeah.
By the way, I know they were campaigning, and they mentioned at the last Garda annual conference, the GRA annual and the AGSI annual conference a few weeks ago, that they wanted the extra. They were talking about an extra allowance if you had to live in Dublin because of the lunacy of the rents in Dublin. You get an extra allowance if you're in the Gaeltacht, don't you? I think.
I'm not sure. They don't get an extra in Dublin.
Yeah.
And in fact, these 12 young guards were just with the human resource manager in Templemore before I'm on air, who wants to accommodate them. Okay. Everyone in Templemore is trying to be so accommodating, but he is being overruled by the Garda Commissioner.
But as you said, you joined the Gardaí and the clear understanding that you could be and the clear understanding that he could be posted anywhere in Ireland.
Yeah.
Okay. You're posted on the basis of Drew Harris helicoptering over the country and saying, so to speak, we need more Gardaí there. There's a feud here. There's lots of crime in this particular area. The stats are all there.
Yeah.
And I just don't need more Gardaí in Limerick, Cork. Well, he decided he doesn't need any more Gardaí below the line from Dublin to Galway.
Mm-hmm.
Is below the line from Dublin to Galway the most peaceful, tranquil part of the world at the moment?
I don't know. It baffles me, to be honest, Joe. I think it's so unjust. Just because we're in Galway or we might be in Limerick or Cork, it doesn't mean the crime isn't being committed. People, you need guards. These stations are crying out for guards. Limerick and Cork are in a rage that didn't get new recruits. They are struggling for numbers for guards.
Or you could argue Drew Harris is saying that the commanders in the southern region from Dublin to Galway down are doing a very good job with their allocation, and I don't need they're doing such a good job, I don't need to send any more Gardaí down.
Yeah, you could argue that, but my point is, Joe, why would you have a welfare case? Why would you accommodate 8 people out of 20 and leave 12 people on their own? Leave 12 people without their welfare cases even considered.
Okay,
that's an injustice.
David is in Booterstown in Dublin. David, you're listening to Catherine. Go ahead, David.
I am indeed, but in the old days, the guards joined up maybe at 18 or 19 years of age, and one of the requirements was that they were being single. It was just as like as if you came out of school after doing the leaving cert, and you joined up there, and you had to join up. It was in the Phoenix Park in those days, and there were no privileges. And when you came out of the guard after training, you were in a dormitory in a barracks, no doubt.
Yeah. Okay, David, sorry, but what is your point?
Well, a guard has to go where he's sent, where the need is the greatest.
And is there no way you can calibrate, given that you've over 200 graduates, that you can calibrate it, and they have, apparently, according to Catherine, they've always done this, the figure is down to 12 that were assessed that would be accommodated in a certain geographic area. And well, none of them have... Are you with me? You're harking back to the Gardaí going around in Morris Minors. Like, that was in the olden days.
It was up to the 70s, or possibly up to the 80s. But the whole thing now is, Joe, everybody wants to do what they want to do. I mean, the Gardaí have to be sent where the need is the greatest. Perhaps the violence, black spots, drawed up parts of Dublin. Dublin 1, particularly badly, requires Gardaí.
Yeah. But how do you react to that, Catherine?
Do you know what? I think we're totally getting away from the point altogether. It's not the fact that Dublin and Louth and these places need more guards. It's the fact that a verbal promise is as legally binding as a written promise. A verbal promise was given to these guards to say that they would be stationed near their families, and 8 out of 20 were honoured, 12 are left told to like it or lump it. That's where we are trying to get at today.
Yeah, but Catherine, not being smart, but a verbal promise is not worth the paper it's not written on.
It's still legally binding.
It's not.
It's not. It's not.
I don't think it, but anyway, I take your point, Catherine.
You know,
and David, do you not think, given the demographic of the country, given that there's over 200 graduates this week, that they could have accommodated 12? That's only less than 5%.
Well, possibly. Then say 80%. Or we'll say here, the 12% got this. Everybody wants to go. I want to go near my station. We say in Dunleary, Blackrock,
no,
or Donnybrook.
Your welfare case is either accepted or denied.
Yeah.
If it's denied, well, then you can't have a say in where you're stationed, and that's fair enough. These 12 people, their welfare cases were accepted. They were told, we are going to accommodate you and put you near your family.
Well, that seems unjust. If there's one rule for one, it should be for everybody.
Yeah.
There should be no... Either you accommodate everybody or you accommodate nobody. And I would say the rule should be you have to join...
Yeah, but David is... and I don't want to hark back, but like when I was growing up in Ballyfermot...
Yeah.
There was no guards from Dublin. I don't think there's anyone. Did anyone from Dublin? Well, they did.
I don't think there was.
It was predominantly a rural profession.
Now that's
changed dramatically. Dramatically.
Could I ask a question, Joe?
Catherine,
and David,
yes.
I don't mean to be a personal or anything.
No.
But if you have a family, you have a wife, you have children, just like Drew Harris has a wife and he has 4
yes.
children, he had an opportunity to tuck his children in bed every night. He had an opportunity
yes.
to go
well,
home
know.
To his
we
wife.
Yeah, we don't know that.
Well, when he was in the PSNI up the north, yes, he did. This man from West Cork, who has a wife and 2 children and a mortgage, he's not going to have that basic
okay.
human
okay.
right.
Okay, say there, Catherine. 5-1. Yes, sorry, David.
Guards. Sorry.
No, you can make that point.
He joined the guards. You know that you can't be sent anywhere.
Okay.
For instance.
But that's where this welfare case comes into account. And they were told by.
You're saying there was a system, but that system under the new commissioner is effectively gone.
Like,
this intake, they're okay. told no appeal.
But were they given any hope, Catherine? Were you told if the feud in Drogheda is sorted out, if the Kinahan, didn't
want to... No, they were promised. They were told.
Okay.
They were promised.
I'm saying, were they given any assurance? Listen, the Drogheda will be hopefully sorted out. If the Kinahan-Hutch feud...
No.
You might get your allocation within 12 months.
No, they want now is to appeal.
But David,
that
right is gone. There's no appeal
mm-hmm.
anymore. But David, mm-hmm. what about the fact that it looks like 7 and possibly 19 trainee guards will resign before they even hit a Garda station?
But that is a terrible amount of money wasted down the drain.
Yeah.
Gardaí
yeah.
trained. They've gone 6 to 8 months through their training, and now that money has been picked up by the taxpayer and gone mm-hmm. lost.
And the Gardaí
yeah.
are lost to the station as well. Michael, 51551. Thanks, David. Michael, your point, please.
I just can't believe. I don't know what that girl's name is.
Catherine.
Yeah, I can't believe what I'm listening to. You join the police force, and any day of the week, the circumstances can change, and the commissioner is the CEO, and he decides where people go. And if they don't want to go, well, then fine, resign and get out of the job.
Mm-hmm.
But this thing of welfare cases, What are they, basket cases?
What does that mean? I don't know. So obviously, you think that, sorry, don't use the phrase bad. They're not basket cases, you know that. But what you're saying is there shouldn't be any welfare cases, Michael. There should be no calibration.
I think when you're doing the job, you know that it's a 30 yeah. or a 26 county. You know you can be sent there.
And there's no checks and balances and
I'm sure when they get to the station, they can put in for a transfer.
No.
And it will be dealt with in the general sense okay. when a vacancy comes up.
And were you in on Garda Síochána, Michael?
No, but I was in a different service.
Well, I know I was in the probation and welfare service. And I know that that's located all around the country, as you probably know. No, not as frequent as Garda stations, obviously, but they're in most big towns and cities, definitely in cities and big towns. And I know we were called in by Martin Tansey, and we were asked, what are your preferences? And I will do my best to accommodate you. Now, so there was a system.
Yes, and when I joined, there was a preference given. You could put 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and if it was possible, or if there was a vacancy, yeah. you were sent there. If not, you were sent to where you were needed.
But,
and then when you got there,
Commissioner Harris is apparently the majority have been refused. The majority that were recommended have been refused, and not only have they been refused, the commissioner said there is no appeal available.
Yes, and
as there was heretofore.
And also,
circumstances change where guards are necessary. Guards go. So I have to go.
Okay, Mike, good, Margaret. Aidan Coyle, Aidan in Dublin, your point to Catherine, please.
I think, Joe, hello, Joe. I think they were better off without those Gardaí that resigned. If they didn't understand that they were joining a national police force, then what did they think they were joining up? The Cork Constabulary? Seriously. I mean, Garda Commissioner Harris is doing a great job. I'm astonished at the number of people that actually seem to be lining up to turn him down. I think it's even today's headlines, what happened in the West would have been unthinkable under any previous commissioners.
Yeah, well, we won't mention any case that hasn't gone to court.
We didn't.
Okay, I know. Why do you say he's doing a great job?
Because, as I said already, it was in the RTE News headlines,
Yeah, okay, and the fact, do you think that Commissioner Harris is standing up and saying, listen, I need Gardaí in Dublin, I need Gardaí in Drogheda?
No question about it, absolutely.
This man has
to deploy his resources as best he can to protect the public. That's his job. Now, if they don't understand that, as in the guards that resigned, then what are they doing? Who do they think they're joining?
Catherine?
To be honest, I'm quite baffled that you'd have such a narrow-minded view of this. These are husbands. These
I don't
are
think
sons.
I'm being narrow-minded. I have no connection to the Gardaí, but I understand actually, without anyone having to tell me, it's self-evident. When you join the National Police Force, you're going to be deployed anywhere within the nation.
Yes,
now,
Have you heard of
the welfare
cases?
I'm sorry, but like, these are young men. I assume men and women. I think the proper thing has happened here. The commissioner deployed resources as he saw best.
Do you know what? If there was no welfare case, that would be so much easier. And I agree with that. Get rid of the welfare case. That's fair enough.
If they clearly weren't able to undertake the job, then they shouldn't have joined.
So what are you going to say? That poor man in Cork with his two children are tucked into bed at night and they're wanting their father.
What would you say to those two children? You're just being silly. That guy knew what he was doing. Now, if he didn't want the job, he shouldn't have applied for it.
They were told that they were getting this 25 new jobs.
He was only going to join the Gardaí if he was able to be deployed in Cork. Is that right?
No. The Taoiseach, Simon Calvogny, said that there was 25.
Why didn't the family move to Dublin?
They have a mortgage.
Is there something wrong with Dublin people? Is that what you're saying?
No, I lived in Dublin for a decade.
Then what's the problem?
The problem is you want to uproot two young children and a wife.
Yeah, that's right. If their daddy joined the cops, then that's what happens.
Yeah, but Aidan, the criteria for joining a Garda Síochána has changed dramatically. Now you can be
changed that much, Joe.
Well, you can. Well,
by the way, the serious crime levels are the idea of the keep law and order.
They now accept recruits up to 35 years of age.
Mm-hmm.
That used to be only 18, 19, 20.
Doesn't matter if you're 35. You understand what you're joining. If you don't understand that, then you should have informed yourself.
There's no height requirement anymore. You don't have to be Irish or whatever that phrase means.
Mm-hmm.
So the Garda Síochána in terms, and they deliberately tried to recruit ethnic minorities, and there's a number of them there.
And that's fine, but
job,
I don't see what relevance that has to this conversation, though.
I'm saying the criteria for joining the force, like someone aged 35.
Some things remain, the criteria for joining may have changed, but there are some things remain constant. And one of them is that if you're in a national police force, you're going to be deployed wherever required.
It is even on the face of it, on a spread.
They haven't even spent a day in the job, and they're actually making their demands. We're better off without them.
Well, that's, okay. But Aidan, look at that spreadsheet. Dublin to Galway line, so to speak, and not one new recruit allocated below the Dublin-Galway line.
There's only a certain number of them that they have. They need
202. 202
they need those recruits, but the commissioner has much better access to information than you or I do.
Okay.
If he decided that's where they're required, then that's why they're required. I don't think he did it as a malice.
Okay, and you think Drew Harris is the best Garda commissioner ever?
I think by far he's the best Garda commissioner we've ever had.
Same guys, back after this break, 51551 Joe at rte.ie.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
51551 is our text number. Catherine contacted us. Her partner is one of the 202 thereabouts graduates from Temple Moor this week. They've got their allocation earlier this week. 132 are going to Dublin, 30 are going to Louth, 10 to Galway, and nobody below the Galway Dublin line, so to speak. And Catherine was making the point that you are allowed to put in a special plea if you have, now you can join up to 35 years of age, if you have family commitments, and you will be given, as best as they can, a commutable distance from where you're living. Now, that could mean you could be living in West Cork and working in Cork City or whatever. But Catherine makes the point that the majority that were recommended for this welfare criteria, i.e. 20, the majority of them, 12, were turned down, and the commissioner has said, according to Catherine, that there is no appeal system. Now, Christy Galligan, as we know, he's written a book, he's a retired Garda sergeant, I think about 3 decades, drug squad detective, and has contacted us. Christy, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. How are you?
What do you think of Catherine's plea?
I can understand her plea. There are exceptional circumstances where members of the Garda Síochána, you know, will seek to be deployed closer to home. But I remember in joining the job, I mean, I'm from Donegal. My first deployment was in Cork City, then back onto the border again, you know, and the deployment at that time was really the border duties.
Yeah, well, as Catherine said, she believes, or the analysis by the various people the other day down in Temple Moor, this was the worst station allocation since the Troubles, where there was obviously a different loading necessary. We're not in the Troubles anymore, thank God.
No, I know that, but I'm just saying, I'm using it as an analogy. The difficulty is that you have a major crime gangs in Dublin. You had the crime gangs in Dundalk and along the border areas there, where members will be deployed where they're needed. Primarily where they're needed, but and there are exceptional circumstances where members who find it really difficult or hardship cases can appeal to the commissioner through the various channels of communication in the Garda Síochána to have them look at.
Yeah, but Christy, Catherine said, Drew, the commissioner said, no, the appeal system no longer exists.
Well, I don't know that. I mean, I'm retired a couple of years out of the job now, so I don't know. But I think it very unfair if there wasn't an appeal system in place to allow for hardship cases. Because, I mean, you know, we have to show a certain amount of empathy, but we're supposedly the Garda Síochána a disciplined force. You know, you're
deployed. What do you think of the seven who apparently have resigned? and possibly going to be followed by a further 12 who...
Well, I would ask those seven and the further 12 to think again before you throw the baby out with the bathwater, because it's not always a good thing. You have to think further down the road that if you do something like that there in a job that is a secure job, a good job, a job for life, basically, within the service, that if you do something like that there, you have to think of the consequences down the road, that if you're going for another job somewhere else, either in public service or private service, you could put yourself in a very difficult situation, you know? And I would implore those guys and girls or whoever they are to think again, just before you put your name down on the dotted line, talk to the senior officers down there, have a chat through the associations with the Garda Commissioner before you do it. And I know we like to get on the air to air our grievances. Joe, you're a fantastic conduit for it. But I think this should have been handled before.
Catherine, you can tell us yourself. I presume the reason you contacted us, Catherine, is because there is no appeal system.
Yes, exactly. I've been asked by these 12 to represent them.
Oh, have you? Okay.
Today.
You've been asked as a... But how were you asked?
Well, through my fiancé.
Okay, and he said all of us... Are they male, female?
They have a group. Male, female.
Okay.
Yeah.
And have they formed themselves into a little group or whatever?
Yeah. And they've gone to a sergeant. They've gone to the HRM officer down in... the human resource manager officer down in Templemore. Everyone is so supportive for their plight, bar the commissioner. There was no appeals. This is the first time ever in on Garda Síochána history where they are not allowed to appeal.
These 12 Gardaí, they're Gardaí, effectively. Mm-hmm. I know it takes you to do another station assignment and all the carry on, but they're effectively Gardaí, which is a serious and valuable profession. But you're saying the 12 of them are briefing you to say this?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. And would they not, Catherine? Would they not go to the GRA?
They have gone to the GRA. They went to the GRA at 9 o'clock yesterday morning, and the GRA have told them that you have to go higher. There is nothing we can do for you now. You are not allowed to appeal. That is a demand issued by the commissioner. So you have to take this higher. You need your voice to be heard.
Your voice has definitely been heard today, Catherine, but the Commissioner, and I'd say the Minister for Justice, Charlie Flanagan, because nobody wants to hear the grievances like you're talking about on the air. They'd rather have it dealt with in the House.
The Minister for Justice, Charlie Flanagan, he'll say, I leave operational matters to the Garda Commissioner. Mm. Isn't that why we had a bowling alley of senior civil servants and ministers for justice dropping like flies?
You're adopting the Pontius Pilate approach, you know, that's what they're doing, the Pontius Pilate, wash your hands of it and let somebody else take over. But I don't think that's a good ploy either.
Okay. Say that, Christy, 51551. Yeah. Catherine, I'm looking for this. You say Simon Coveney has put out a statement. I'm looking for it here. It's normally on his Twitter feed. I can't find it. What are you saying he said to Taoiseach?
This was told to those 12 in Templemore this morning that the Taoiseach Simon Coveney has come out publicly to state that Cork were to get 25 new recruits, Limerick were to get 8 new recruits, and all have been overturned by Garda Commissioner.
But what's the Taoiseach, or is the Taoiseach, maybe Chris will tell us, Chris Donoghue, his spokesperson, is the Taoiseach unhappy with that allocation, or does he accept the Garda Commissioner's argument?
Well, you see, the Garda Commissioner is independent, or supposed to be independent.
I know,
anyway. He is responsible to the Minister of Justice, but he's the man who he's the final arbiter, the decision maker for Garda Síochána. And if he needs the deployment of those members to Dublin, not for a continual period, but a small, and a lot of guys know that if they're going to certain areas, that they can make application for transfer when they're there within a short period of time. And then,
let's put that. And Chris, you say most of them are looked after. What about that avenue, Catherine? I take your point, children and work and family.
I 100% understand what they're trying to express there, but you can only transfer with a person that's at the same level in terms of training as you. So say you were a trainee guard, you can only transfer with a trainee guard. And I'm not trying to put words in people's mouths or to insult anyone in any way, but who in Galway would want to swap and go to Dublin? If their welfare case was looked after and they asked for Galway.
Okay, John Boyce, 1850 715 815. John, your point, please.
My point is that, and maybe Catherine can confirm this, that her issue is that on joining, these prospective graduates were advised that they could apply for a hardship case and that it would be granted. At the very least, they would be stationed within a commutable distance of their preferred location. Mm-hmm. All the rest of the callers that are coming on here are responding to, you know, different issues. You know, it's all irrelevant. If, you know, the Gardaí advised the graduates that they would get this and now they are not getting it, well, then simply a wrong has been done.
Exactly. And a wrong has been done to 12, not the full 20.
Which makes it even worse.
Mm-hmm. So 8 approximately. I mean, all the
talk, Joe, about, you know, I'm a 60-year-old man. I worked in a business that required me to go where I was told. So okay. I took the Queen's Shilling and Mars where I was told. That was all marginally acceptable back in my day. That system within that employment has changed completely now, and people are employed in their locality. And it's not a question of what went on 40 years ago. Mm. You know, when the government was building, every town had a row of Garda houses, and there was no crisis in accommodation. You know, there was no huge hardship like there is today for young people, which I know is quite a separate point. But, like, the world has changed. And more importantly, that's, you know, if the Gardaí gave a commitment and the Gardaí did not live up to their commitment, mm-hmm. well, then a wrong has been done. And I could understand why a CEO of a company would make a difficult decision like that, you know, particularly with what's going on in various parts of Ireland. But, like, as always, 99% of life's problems are ones of communication. He should have said, by the way, you know, that understanding we have about hardship cases, that no longer applies.
And there is more emphasis in workplaces on a duty of care, isn't there, to staff especially? That's a big...
Well, it's a simple... if you applied for a job in the probation services, as you were saying earlier on, and you were transferred to, you know, Donegal, beautiful and all as it is, you know, if that was your understanding... you'd have lived with it. If it wasn't your understanding, you would have a right of appeal.
But you did wait in trepidation for your allocation, for where you were allocated to. It wasn't 100. Anyway, I take your point. Let me bring in Paul Berry. Thanks, John Boyce. Paul Berry lives in North Inner City, Dublin. He says near Croke Park. Go ahead, Paul.
We're told
100 of the 202 new graduates, 132 are going to Dublin. Now, I know Dublin is a massive conglomerate now, stretching miles and miles into effectively Mead and Kildare and Wicklow. So 132 out of the, in other words, the majority of the new graduates are going to Dublin. You won't notice them yet. Do you think they're needed, Paul?
My view, Joe, is that we need hundreds and hundreds of police on the streets, Dublin, to deal with the likes of, say, antisocial behaviour and the smaller crimes, which are not being dealt with because the bigger crimes...
Well, what is the antisocial behaviour then you feel in...
Well, the antisocial behaviour is gangs of young people going around, smashing windows, kicking in doors... all that type of smaller crime that when you ring about it, the Gardaí are not that interested in responding to it because they have bigger things on their plate.
Well, like what? What are they not responding to?
Well, they're not responding to when you ring them about it. The response time is zero.
But ring them about, sorry, Paul, ring them about what?
like antisocial behaviour in the area
which
when
is what,
it happens.
Which is what?
Which is people kicking your door in.
Okay.
People, drinking in the area. People firing bottles, knocking off wing mirrors, that type of thing.
Okay, well, that is serious examples, yeah. And you said
it's small crime as far as the police are concerned, yeah. And there isn't a response. That's all I just wanted to say.
But you're saying, Paul, this has been your experience.
This is my direct experience, yes. And I have made calls and have been told from time to time, sorry, we don't have anybody to respond to that.
Well, if you can, give us the most recent example of what you complained, what you made a call about and the response, if any.
Well, I made a call around a door being kicked in.
Okay, well, that's serious.
Yeah, it wasn't kicked in, but, you know. And I didn't get a response on that. So what I do is I log it, and then somebody might call in 3 or 4 or 5 months' time to follow up on it, and then you've forgotten what it is.
What do you mean you log it?
I will ring the police and tell them.
But now, do you write down every time you ring the police? Do you keep a record?
I have started to keep a record.
Okay. Yes. Why?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I forget every time I ring in because the response doesn't come back. So
and
I'm
does your spreadsheet say I phoned on this particular day about this particular event? I was answered by this particular guard, and they said this.
I just have it in a diary when I phoned.
Okay. Yeah. Say there for a second. 51551. Jason. Good afternoon. You're listening to Catherine's plea. Go ahead, Jason. And Catherine's telling us she's speaking on behalf of 12. Disgruntled new Gardaí graduates who think they should have been given an allocation, not where they live, but closer to where they live than Dublin.
Hey Joe, basically I text in to say, you know, it's a blue uniform or a green uniform. They signed it at Lyon, and it's not a scout's uniform, which is true. Basically, they're doing a man's job, or be it a woman. And it's, they need to stand up. They're going out, what are they expecting to sit in the guard station writing all day, writing up reports? They're going out to do a job where they should be higher paid than what they are. They do the shift work, they do more hours than anybody else, they do extra time, overtime, and they get spat at, they get kicked at, they get abused constantly, the job that they're in. So these people should know this before they sign the dotted line, and where are they joining up? If they don't want to, if they can't get closer to home, so be it, let them out. I was in the army. I was everywhere. I was places I didn't want to be, but I had to go because I'd done what I was told.
Yeah.
Well, simple as that. It's a big boy's world, Joe. It's not like... it's getting worse and worse because there's more criminals and more criminals and more criminals.
Catherine, do you want to...
Commissioner's doing his job.
Catherine, do you want to respond to Jason?
Yeah, Jason, I agree with what you're saying. And, of course, when the men and women sign up and walk through the gates of Templemore, the Garda College, they know what they're signing up to. But if that's the case, then they shouldn't have... I'm trying to get back to the point. They shouldn't have welfare cases for these people. There's a girl, a Ban Garda, in Templemore at the moment. She's a single mother. She's living in South Tipperary.
Catherine, I can't go into any individual case. Tony, your point, please.
Okay.
How are you, Joe? Yeah. I joined the army in 78.
Okay.
And I had to join in at Lowen because there was no actual recruiting in Dublin at the time.
Okay.
And when I joined in at Lowen, we were told, literally within the space of a couple of days, before we even had a medical, that the majority of us, there was 42 of us, would be going to the border.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? Now, out of the 39 that passed out, 37 were sent to fill a camp. Because that's where the troubles were up at that time, and that's where people were needed. Now, if I joined the Guards today, I know I would be probably sent to either Dublin, Dundalk, or Limerick.
Tratty. Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
There's no one sent to Limerick. That's one of Catherine's points. That would have sorted out a lot of the welfare cases, apparently.
Would it,
Catherine?
I wouldn't be on the phone to you today.
But I was the same. I had to go in and make a case. Myself and another fella went and made a case, and we were the only two out of the 37 that passed out that actually made it, or 39, that got where we wanted to get.
Okay.
That's the point I'm trying to make, is that their cases, although they were promised these empty promises, they're not allowed to make an appeal in the first time, for the first time in history. They are told, before we even did our medical.
We knew
that when we done a training in Lathnawn, we were going to the border. Like the soldiers weren't needed in Wexford or down in Cork or anything like that. You know what I mean? Soldiers were needed to patrol the border. So we knew that's where we were going. But we were given an idea beforehand, and like that, we were actually told under extenuating circumstances that you may get a posting that you preferred.
Okay.
And as I said, only two of us got it because of extenuating circumstances.
How long did you spend in the army, Tony?
18 years.
And did you? Why did you leave?
I was at reaching my end with it. You know what I mean? I knew loads of the people around
and
me.
You say you got what you
found what you were looking for.
But Tony, what was it that turned it in your favour? Do you think?
I turned out to be the breadwinner in the family.
So you had to stay in the family
home. I was only 18, okay. But it was still, I turned out to be the breadwinner in the family. Do you know what I mean? So what?
Your dad or your mom wasn't around?
Yes. My dad just left.
So you said, so basically,
I had two brothers and a sister as well, much younger.
Okay.
And so my man is at home more or less. You know what I mean?
George Eggers, thanks, Tony. Thank you for your service as well. George Eggers, good afternoon.
George Figgis.
Figgis, sorry, I'm reading the wrong.
That's quite all right. Mr. Duffy. How are you?
Good. I was wondering, I've never seen a name before, E-I-G-G-I-S, but there it was. Anyway, George Figgis, your point, please, George.
My point is, recently watching the statistics for rent, Dublin has now gone up to 2,000 a month, which is, of course, 500 a week. And if a Garda earns 500 a week, that's as much as he would earn, and his salary would literally go in rent. So in my opinion, he's better off staying in Cork.
But he can't.
Because the money would literally go to a landlord.
So you're saying the 12 of them, well, you can't generalise, but 7 of them were told have already handed in their resignation without setting foot in the Garda. And you're saying the other dozen should do likewise?
Well, if they're thinking the way I think, that £500 of their euro of their salary every week is going to go on rent,
good point,
there won't be an awful lot left. It's literally not the job. If you're living in Cork and you have a mortgage, you don't want to come to Dublin to look for a place to rent, because that's where your work is.
Because things have changed dramatically since the day that some people refer to, which was where you had to be certain, be below a certain age. It wasn't 35 or anything like it. And it wasn't too long ago that only men could join, believe it or not. And it wasn't too long ago since Gardaí were provided with accommodation. But we live in a different world. Okay, Catherine, I have to say, Catherine, just looking at the texts and the tweets and people saying, listening, I agree with the commissioner that they should know what they're signing up for. Am I being hard on this woman? No.
Well, you're being hard on the wives and children that are left behind in West Cork. You're being hard on those, on the commitments, on the mortgage repayments that they have to pay, and then they have to go up to Dublin and pay rent as well. You're being hard on these people who, at the end of the day, are human beings. They're guards as well, but primarily they're human beings who have asked for a welfare case to be considered. Their welfare case was accepted, and then only 8 out of the 20 welfare cases were put into force. I know... I keep reiterating this point that you go into Templemore, that you know you're going to be stationed anywhere. But if that's the case, don't have a welfare system.
Okay, but I'm saying less appeal. Okay, I'm surprised that the majority of callers are behind the Garda Commissioner.
Okay,
but I think you've made the point very strongly. And when you say now you've become a spokesperson, Catherine, are you going to do more interviews on behalf of these 12?
I don't know. I'm just doing what I'm told today. I'm just backing my fiancé and I'm backing the 12 down there.
Oh, okay.
If they decide to resign, which they said if they're left with no other option to resign, that's taxpayers' money gone down the drain. That's my.
Yeah, but what about Christie's earlier point? That you put that in your CV. An employer says, you trained to be a guard and you gave it up on the day you graduated.
Yeah. But
Okay, I know your point's made. Catherine, thanks indeed for contacting us and all the other callers as well. 51551 joe@rte.ie.